Once you get your Bibles and look in 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight, we're just looking at two verses. These are two verses that we need to have a good grasp of as we're trying to study through and look at the book of 1 Peter during the Sunday nights in 2017. I want to remind us what's happening in this book. Peter's writing to a group of Christians who are enduring severe persecution. And he's trying to build them up and encourage them. And the key word in this book is the word hope. To remind them that they have a hope that's found in Christ if they'll remain faithful to Him and not give up and turn away from the hope that they have. And that's why he keeps just driving each and every time to say, go back to Christ, find your hope in Christ, and don't become discouraged. Now, sometimes you might think, you might tell these Christians, well, you know, why don't you just take it easy for a while? Why don't you just kind of back off for a while? Why don't you just sit down and relax for a while? And then you'll be able to get, you know, people will stop persecuting you. They won't be interested in you because you're not really doing anything. Just kind of get off their radar for a while. And then after they're not looking at you, then you can kind of get back involved in the work of the church. Is that what Peter did? You tell them just kind of back off? No. Peter kept encouraging them to continue driving on and driving on. And what he does in this passage is to remind them of responsibilities that they had as Christians. And what he does in this passage, particularly in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, is he reminds them that they are to be good stewards of what God had given them. Now, here's something I want you to understand about these two verses. When you come and look at these two verses, he's talking most likely in verses 10 and 11 with these gifts that he's saying that they had received. He is most likely addressing these Christians who had received a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit that those Christians had in the first century. That they had received a gift through the laying on of the apostles' hands, that they were then able to go around and do miraculous things through the power of God that He had given to them. That's most likely what he's dealing with here. And they're dealing with severity of persecution to where they are being put to death for having faith in Jesus. Those are two things we don't have today. We don't have the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit any longer today. Those passed away. And, at least at the present time, we are not being persecuted to the point of our death. Does that mean that these verses don't have any application to us? Does that mean, well, they only had something to them, they don't have anything to me? No. God gave His Word to all of us. And while these things may have had specific meaning to them in these gifts, do we not also have gifts for which we are to be responsible, for which we are to be good stewards of? And so I want us to look at these verses in an application mode. Say, what can we take from these and apply them to ourselves and be reminded we, as Christians, are to be good stewards today. And what do good stewards do? Good stewards glorify God. That's what these two verses are about. So very briefly, here's what we're going to see. Number one, we're going to see three things just very quickly tonight. Number one, we're going to notice that good stewards are profusely blessed with gifts from God. How blessed are you? You say you're sort of blessed. You're kind of blessed. What was that, Micah? Halfway blessed? 99% blessed? How blessed are you as a child of God? When you come and look at this passage, Peter was trying to remind these Christians who were being persecuted that they were profusely blessed because they were children of God. And he uses two verbs. He uses two verbs in these two verses, and he uses more than that, but in this idea of being blessed, he's going to show two verbs to show them how blessed they are. Number one, down in verse 11, did you see this word in verse 11 where he says that God supplies you with everything you need? The word supplies there is in the Greek present tense. That means God keeps doing it. He keeps doing it over and over continually. God is blessing you liberally with everything that you need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is liberally giving you all things that you need? Do you believe what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 8, that God knows what you need even before you ask it? You, as a child of God, are blessed. Why? Because verb number one says God supplies it. Verb number two is in verse 10. God supplies it. What did we do? We received it. God gave these gifts. He supplies these gifts. And we have received, what have we received at the end of verse 10? The many-fold grace of God. The many sides, the many folds, the many-sided grace of God. We have been supplied abundantly every gift that God can give us. Do you know what James chapter 1 verse 17 says? Every good And he uses the word again, every perfect gift comes down from where? Target? Walmart? Amazon? Where does it come from? From God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Comes down from our God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, what do you have that you didn't receive? I want you to answer that question. He asked the church in Corinth, what do you have you didn't receive? You start counting everything that you have in your possession. What do you have you did not receive from God? We are profusely blessed. And he uses two verbs to tell us this. And so as we look at these gifts, guess what he does? He uses two gifts. He focuses on two gifts in these verses that God has given to us. Number one gift is in verse 11. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. God has given us His Word. Do we understand what a blessing that is? Micah talked about it tonight. How do we deal with the devil? We deal with the devil with the Word that God has given to us. One of the greatest gifts we have is His Word. Help me with this verse. All Scripture is by the inspiration of God. That's New King James. Now, other translations will have it different. But all Scripture is by the inspiration of God. What is that word? Given. What's the Bible? It's a gift that has been given to you. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that all things pertaining unto life and godliness is what the rest of that verse says. But it says, through the knowledge and the power of God, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Right here, we've got the greatest gift that we could have. God's Word. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. We're just kind of laying the foundation of these gifts. The second gift He gives us is down in verse 11. It's there in verse 10 too. But you see specifically in verse 11 where He says, if anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability which God supplies. Two gifts God gives us in this passage. One is His Word. The other are the abilities that God has given to us. You know, there are some things that we have that all of us have the same thing. We all have time. You might say, I don't have enough time. You've got the same amount of time I've got. I've got the same amount of time you've got. Nobody in here has more time than anybody else. We all have the same amount of time. There are some things that we share and we have the same. There are some things that we are not the same when it comes to talents, when it comes to abilities. Some of you are a whole lot more talented than I am in a whole lot more ways. Where'd you get those talents? Well, I worked really hard on them. Okay. Well, I went to training. Okay. Well, you know, my dad trained me to, you know, I just kind of grew up in a home where this was kind of our thing. Okay. Where'd you get those talents? Where'd you get those skills? Where'd you get those abilities? What does this verse say? The abilities which God supplies. Why are you good at what you are good at? And what is it that you're good at? Some people are good with numbers. And you might think about numbers. You say, no, I'm not good with numbers. Some people are good with kids. Some people are good with a sewing machine. What are you good at? What are you good with? Are you a good talker? Believe it or not, that's a talent. You know, some people are not such good talkers. We thank God for some of them that aren't such good talkers. But some people are good at talking. Now, the whole point of this is, what do you do with that? Some people are good listeners. And when you have a good talker that's paired with a good listener, hey, they're using their talents for each other. But what are you good at? What talent, what skills, what abilities do you have? Remember what the Bible says. Every one of them comes down from God. Now, that's the foundation of this. That as Christians, we are to be stewards of what we have been profusely blessed with, because everything we have belongs to God. Not 5% of it, not 50% of it, not what I've earned with my own paycheck. Everything I have belongs to God. So what's my responsibility? That's the point of this passage. We are to be good stewards. Good stewards are, number one, profusely blessed. Good stewards are, number two, personally responsible for those blessings. Personally responsible for what God has given to them. Do you know what the word steward, what does that mean? What does the word steward mean? The Greek word, it's used in other places. It means a manager. You know, you go to a store and you ask to talk to the manager. You ever done that? Might not have been a good situation if you were asked to talk to the manager. You go to a store and you ask to talk to the manager. Does the manager own the shop? Well, no, not likely. He's the manager. You go down to Subway and you see a guy who's got a name and it says he's the manager. You go to Chick-fil-A and they're the shift manager. Do they own the place? No. They're just responsible for what's happening at that time. What are we? Do we own the place? No, we're stewards. We're managers. Everything that's in our possession, is it ours? Everything has come from God. So what am I? I'm a manager of what God has put in my care. I'm a steward. The English word steward comes from the idea of a sty, S-T-Y, ward. You know what a sty is, right? Mm-hmm. You know where the livestock live? They live in the sty. And what's a ward? It's a keeper. It's a helper. What's a sty ward, a stalwart? A steward is a keeper, a helper of the sty, where the livestock live. I don't own the livestock. I just keep them. What does God tell us as stewards that we are supposed to be? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says that stewards above everything else need to be found to be faithful. God didn't expect us to be perfect as stewards, as managers, but He calls us to be faithful. Two responsibilities in this verse, all right, in these two verses. We've got two verbs, we've got two gifts. You come down here, how am I supposed to be personally responsible? Well, I've got two gifts. What do I do with those two gifts? I've got two responsibilities. My first gift is the Word. How am I a good manager of the Word? What is my responsibility as a manager, as a steward of the Word of God? To protect it? To put it in a nice little box and protect it and put it on my coffee table so that it doesn't get any rain on it? How am I supposed to protect? How am I supposed to be a manager, a steward of the Word of God? What does verse 11 say? Whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. This is not saying, well, you know, if you happen to choose to speak, God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every one of us is responsible for speaking. So the responsibility in this verse is what? When I speak, I better be faithful to what God says. If any man speak, let him speak as the utterances, the oracles of God. Whatever God says is what I need to speak. What does Revelation 22 say? Without adding to and without taking away from it. I am to be a manager. I'm to be a steward, a faithful one, who not only teaches what God says, but only teaches what God says. Am I a good steward of that? That's my responsibility, to not just take His Word to the world, to take all of His Word to the world, and to take only His Word to the world, because that's all that's going to save them. But what's the second gift? My abilities. What do I do with my abilities? Look at verse 10. As each one has received a gift. What do I do with this gift? What do I do with this ability? What do I do with this talent? The New King James says, minister it to one another. What does that mean? You get a gift. What are you supposed to do with it? Use it. Some translations say, use it to serve other people. I asked you a little while ago, what are you good at? What are your talents? Are you somebody you're good with your hands? You're a good handyman? You're good? What is it that you're good at? What abilities do you have? What does God say in verse 10? You received this. Now what do you do it? Use it to serve one another. Do we do that? God says you're to be a good steward. God's given me this ability. What do I do? Whatever this ability is, I need to use it to serve others. Are you good at talking? Can you use that to call and talk to the widows and the shut-ins? Are you good at listening? Bless their hearts, there's some widows or shut-ins that if you call them, you won't be the one who's doing the talking. You will be the one who's doing the listening. Are you good at that? What abilities has God put into your care? And what does He say to do? Your responsibility is to use them to serve others. Three things about stewards here. We are profusely blessed. Number two, we are personally responsible for those gifts. And number three, we had better be properly motivated when we use them. We had better have the proper motivation, because when I have these gifts and these abilities given to me by God, I don't use them so that other people will applaud me. Good job. Look at what he did. I don't do it to get a pat on the back. I don't do it to get recognition. So the elders stand up and say, "We just want to let you know how good Jimmy Banks is. Here's what Jimmy Banks did for everybody in the church. And Jimmy's just about the best Christian you can be. And so everybody needs to be like Jimmy. And if you're not like Jimmy, sorry, you're just not going to make it." Is that why I use my gifts? No, I don't use my gifts to receive accolades, to receive a pat on the back, to receive some kind of recognition. Remember what Jesus said about people who did that in Matthew chapter 6? Those who do it in order to receive the attention and the applause of men, Jesus says they have their reward. If that's what you want, that's what you can have. But is that the reward you're looking for? No, I don't think so. So when I come to this, in this passage, there are two purposes. Two purposes. When I take these and I'm personally responsible for using my gifts, there are two purposes. Number one, I use what God has given me to glorify God. Look at the end of verse 11. You see the word that, T-H-A-T, you see it right tucked in the middle of verse 11? Whoever speaks, speak as the oracles of God. Whoever ministers, do it with the ability that God supplies, comma, why? That, here's the purpose, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. My first and paramount duty as a Christian is to glorify God in everything that I do. When I get ready to talk to somebody, is this going to glorify God? When I get ready to post something on the internet, when I get ready to type something, when I get ready to share something, when I get ready to just let somebody I'm just not really liking what you're saying on your particular post on this, is what I'm about ready to do and say, is it going to glorify God? Do you see the word A-L-L here in verse 11? That in all things God may be glorified. What's my purpose in life? To glorify God. Number two purpose? When I am a steward of what God has given to me, I need to glorify God, and then I need to use it for the good of others. As each one, verse 10, has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I've got to use what I have received to help other people for their good. Not that I get anything out of it. It's selfless. Not that I get anything out of serving them, but I serve them in order that they might benefit from it. And I do this because of two qualities that God has, two aspects of His nature. That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory, God has all glory, and to whom belong dominion or sovereignty. Are you a good steward? Am I a good steward of what God has given me? Do I understand how profusely blessed I have been? Do I understand how personally, not you, me, personally responsible I am for the gifts that God has given to me? I must speak. I must serve. Those are not options. And am I properly motivated? Not that I can receive attention, but so that God can receive attention. Let your light so shine before men that they may see you and how good you are and say, "Wow, what a wonderful person." Is that what that verse says? That they may see your good works, because that's what you're doing. You're letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And do what? Glorify you for how awesome you are, right? Forget that. Glorify God. Glorify God. Are we a conduit for others to see God and to glorify God? That's what a good steward is. Here's two verses. They had special meaning to those Christians in the first century because of the severe persecution they were enduring and because of those special gifts they got from God in a miraculous sense, but we are blessed too. And we need to truly sing in our heart, God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you serving the Lord as a faithful Christian? Are you in His kingdom? That's the place where we get to serve Him. Are you in His kingdom tonight? The Bible tells us very plainly that God wants us, in order to become a part of His kingdom, in order to become one of His children, where you are going to be abundantly blessed above all others when you're one of His children. Are you? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you repented and turned away from the wrong that's in your life? Say, I want to stop sinning. I want to stop doing wrong. Start doing what's right. Turn my life over to God. If you're ready to do that tonight, this church is ready to help you to take the steps that are necessary to confess the faith that's in your heart and to be baptized into Christ, buried with Jesus, into His death, to let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin you've ever committed, to rise to walk a new life in serving Him, to be blessed so that you can truly glorify God and to help others around you. Are you a Christian? Are you a faithful Christian tonight? If this church can help you on that road tonight, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.